Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I'm so jazzed for a conversation about how we can document projects and continue to have as much fun as possible. And as an early adopter, I've been involved with a company called Matterport for a long time. And shout out to our director, Scott Hicken, worked with their team. And today we get to have a conversation with them. And the main message that I want to convey is that Matterport's 3D capture technology can help AEC or architectural engineering and construction professionals to improve quality management process and stay on schedule by illuminating problem areas before they impact the project budgets and owner timelines. And boy, can I attest to that. What a magical tool to easily see behind the walls after they're covered up down the line. And how is this going to benefit you, Tribe, is that professionals across the AEC can use Matterport solutions to help them save time and money by reducing rework, right? We never have to redo anything in construction, right? And limiting defects at handover. We never have somebody pointing the finger that something went wrong. And improving resource planning and scheduling. We never struggle with trying to pass the baton of the sub from one to the next, right? Obviously, tongue in cheek, that those are all major things that this tool really helps with. And my perspective is that we've been watching Matterport's journey into the AEC industry for many years, and I know about its value firsthand. And what started simply as a 3D walkthrough now gives us full BIM models, and we're using those and they're amazing. So the question is, what's next? So we get to have the global head of business strategy, Stephanie Lin, who is a lifelong architect coming into this tool. I'm so excited to have this conversation to get to know her story and what's going on over at Matterport. Lock and load, Tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
Scotch.
Scotch. I love it. The problem with scotch, though, I went to Scotland and tried everything. I was at a buddy's wedding. The problem with scotch for me is it tastes like scotch. That was like, the joke. I'm a bourbon guy, but anyway, I love the.
You needed well, what's some shepherd's pie to go with traveled? It, you know, nice and rich.
There you go. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
I got to say Taiwan. I was born there. I spent a lot of my summers growing up there. Beautiful island nation. You get the coastal azure blue waters with beautiful mountainside on the interior as well. And huge, great city life.
Awesome. Well, what do you like to do outside, or your favorite hobby interest outside of the construction silos we're going to talk about through Matterport that we passionately call the art of construction?
So I had a baby last year, so some of those are temporarily on hold, unless blowing raspberries on her belly counts. But I love golfing. I used to golf at least once a week. I still swim at least twice a week. These are my ways to decompress and cooking, because if you expend calories, you got to eat some good food to make up for it.
Awesome. So scotch and golf and eating and traveling, and congratulations on your new baby. What a tee up here. What is the story that led you to being the global head of business strategy for Matterport, Stephanie?
That's great. Thanks for asking. So I started out my career in my education as a architect. I'm licensed in the state of New York. I did it specifically. I knew I went in with the timeline. I knew I wanted to get in there. And my focus was on international super tall skyscrapers. I knew I wanted to have my hand on shaping the world in a meaningful way. But then I knew it's a tough industry. And I wanted to know more. Like, why was I creating all these options for a client to decide? So I decided to make the hop after doing that for a decade into retail on the owner side. Worked with Michael Kors and Tory Burch to understand how are decisions being made. Why were they driven in that way? And why were things cut out of the project that I had so beautifully designed before? And then, you know what? Quite honestly, the pandemic happened. Retail went to a standstill. And I'd always thought about the different types of pain points I was having during my process of my career through both pivots. And, you know, the timing was right. Matterport was looking for somebody to come in and, you know, help out with their business strategy, talking about industry. How do we approach our customers in the right way in their language, not in our techie Silicon Valley language, right? So it was a great it's a great confluence of events and timing for sure.
Wow, we're dropping. I love that you share the real world of architecture is really hard, right? Like when you go out, I've had so many students of the game come in and be like, they really want to be this architect, right? And they come in and they're working on, they just want to develop all these skyscrapers. And then the problem is very few get actually built with a T. It's build revising or revisioning with a D, right? And so these architects that set out to shape the world, they realize how tough it is to execute the options. And then it's very hard when you do this great thing and they build it, but then they cut out all the stuff that actually makes the building special, right? So I commend you for going out and figuring out how can we actually make the cool stuff happen. But first, you got to find the pain points and figure out how to speak Silicon Valley and speak architect, if I understand kind of your initial story correctly. Thank you for sharing that so much. And I genuinely really appreciate someone that with all of the schooling and the work that you've done to kind of paint that picture of like, going into school, like Phil Reed, we've had him on the podcast multiple times. And one of our top podcasts is says, don't go to school to be an architect or along those lines. That's the tongue in cheek is be careful about how much you spend on theory before you execute in practice. Right. And I really thank you for sharing that story to tee this up. What were your initial thoughts about Matterport when you jumped in to learn how ArchiSpeak and Silicon Valley stuff all comes together when you joined Matterport just a couple of years ago?
Well, I'll be very frank. When I joined, before I joined, in my head about prop tech companies in general, I was thinking, who are these people coming in and trying to tell me how to do work that I have been studying my entire life, working every day, 18 hours a day, you name it. How are they going to know what I need to do every day? And then I joined Matterport and I was generally quite impressed. The team that they had, amazing effort to listen to their customers and actually try to learn why things were done the way they were, what could be done to help improve that. But of course, you know, there's, as with any company that's growing, there was also a lot of opportunity. You know, they were scratching the surface because they didn't come from the industry. And the ability also for a company to recognize the need to pull in more help was something that really attracted me to Matterport as well.
Good on you. So can you describe watching this kind of from the inside out and the outside in as the Global Megaphone podcast, but also internally in my window and door company, buying one of the cameras way back at the beginning, just because I wanted to understand how it works, of meeting in the middle to where when I originally bought it, I raised my hand and say it was because it's what I could afford as a hobby to go test this thing out and get the thing going, right? And can you describe Matterport's journey from being a real estate showcase, is what I would call it at the beginning, that kind of tool, to now being a full-blown AEC industry tool and the announcements and partnerships that you've been putting out on your LinkedIn and different places in social media?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been such a fantastic journey. The company is, you know, well over a decade old now. I think we're bridging on 12 or 13 years. My PR team will definitely have to correct me on that, the exact number for sure. But you're right. You know, it started off as being a very big real estate showcase tool, particularly in the residential market. And as the company was gaining more and more traction there, as people were saying, wow, the value of being able to understand how to walk through a space, even if you couldn't get there in person, the commercial real estate side started taking notice as well. So we started with a lot of wonderful large engagements with companies out there like JLL, CBREs, et cetera. And as you start to grow these engagements, there's a kind of a twofold way of how AEC starts to enter the picture. One is the story that you just shared, Devin, actually, which is there are a lot of people out there who needed a cheap tool to help capture their spaces. And what a great way, what a great entry point, right, to go into that market, into that exploration phase. And the other way was as we were starting to get more and more of these larger industries, particularly on the commercial real estate side, word was starting to spread as well. Because if you're on the project management side and you're talking about a tool to the vendors, the practitioners, the industry practitioners you're hiring, they're going to do their research and they're going to want to know, because usually it's kind of the reverse way around. It's the industry practitioners are telling the clients, oh, wait, I have this cool tool. You can bring this X and X efficiency. And that's, you know, it's a bit of a circular way of spreading the good word. But either way, the good word has thankfully been spread quite a bit. And we're here to make sure that with all these new advancements that we've made over the past year, year and a half, that we want to make sure that we're doing right by the community, especially the AAC community, because, you know, let's be honest, whether you're an architect, engineer, construction, that's not your only job. You serve all the different types of industries. There would be nothing on this earth if it wasn't for AENC, right? So the community touches everything all at once, really.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the talking track around that is like people that are really good constructors, a lot of times are not necessarily the early adopters or the ones that are tech forward. And that's kind of this whole thing that we're talking about through the master facilitators that we've coined as system built. And that's really trying to understand how to connect the field to the office. Can you talk about who were kind of, from your point of view or what you're hearing being involved in Matterport, who were the early adopters of Matterport when it comes to AEC? And you said a lot of advancements the last couple of years. Who is using it now?
You know, a lot of the early adopters were smaller shops, those who were looking for affordable ways to document an existing space. There's fantastic technology out there, the high-end laser scanners that can document everything down to plus or minus 2 millimeters. And that it's incredible. I mean, the amount of information and data you can get for that is fantastic, but it's also very expensive. And it's also very time consuming to train your staff to do it. And if you don't want to train your staff, then it's, again, it's expensive again to hire out. So a lot of the early adopters were those who might have been from smaller firms, didn't necessarily have the project budget to do that, but still needed the information in a fast and efficient way. Also the, you know, some of the larger firms, some of the more well-known firms, Perkins & Will, for instance, have been long time users, and they've even done webinars with us. So more tech forward, larger firms have also, you know, they usually have some technology innovation group that's out there also trying to understand what are the newer technologies. For us, we also want to be sure that we're not stagnant. We are always offering and iterating to the needs of the industry. And so, you know, even within the last year and a half, November 30th, I still remember the exact day, November 30th, 2021, I remember that because that was when I gave birth also, was when we launched our BIM file product. So that is from a Matterport scan. One of the beauties of the scan is that you're not only getting that beautiful 4K 3D photogrammetry that's coming through, it's also high quality enough where you can pull out the 3D data. You can get out point cloud information from it. Matterport now has helped simplify the process even more, where you can go directly through Matterport to order an LOD 200 BIM file, Revit, or IFC as a deliverable, so that you can really just jumpstart, free up your teams from doing the manual, painful, sometimes honestly soul-sucking process of tracing point clouds to get you that baseline BIM file.
100%. And that's the part of the data drop chasm of the handoffs, right? Of like, you articulated that very well. If it's just for pretty pictures, you can't, that's not what's going to move the needle for moving your business forward. Those are kind of that, like it, how a lot of people, I believe, in the early adopters were using it just to kind of showcase the cool pictures and maybe kind of see some, but then it was like, wow, you could actually move that to go to the, you can lead the Revit file or as-builts that, quite frankly, what does 1% with reality mean? Like I've seen so many as-builts that it's hard to trust them at any level, right? So if you can start putting metrics of how you're trusting that data source, then you can start scaling that up, right? And that's why we want to talk about next is, for our listeners who don't know, can you describe in detail some of the best current use cases for Matterport? And let's divide that between residential and commercial, because they're two very different animals, because it's really about scale and data at scaling data of how you're going to capture that.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of capture, I think there is a unifying piece across residential and commercial, which is definitely milestone scanning. For residential, it's particularly important, making sure you're scanning the space before the drywall goes up. As you mentioned earlier, it's really about about capturing the data. It's a magical tool where you can time travel back and understand what is behind the walls. If you need to punch a new hole, if you want to make a renovation, where are those damn studs that are actually structural versus not, right? Sorry, I don't know if damn is allowed in this podcast.
It sure is. Let it rip.
All right, there you go. and then the other piece is what we're also finding, and with the residential in particular, is there's a huge value to scanning the space before and after construction from even an insurance and ownership perspective. So if you have the unfortunate luck of having to go through some sort of catastrophic weather event, a lot of insurance companies are also leveraging Matterport scans to understand what the extent of the damage is, and what better way to actually get an accurate quote from insurance companies, which I know everyone has had some sort of difficulty in whatever type of claims process they might be entailed in, is to have that source of truth, the visual source of truth that is timestamped of exactly what was there before and what is there afterwards. For the commercial side, again, I'll go back to the milestone captures. So for the AEC community, also super important. I know for sure, and Matterport knows, there are other solutions out there that rely very much solely on 360 capture, which is incredibly quick. Matterport also is a platform that can ingest and take in your 360 captures as well. So that's not necessarily where we're focused on, because again, we want to make sure that we're providing that high quality 3D aspect to take your project to the next level. So beyond taking it from just the site capture, just the pretty picture, just the documentation in a visual way, we're also taking it straight into the user's workflow. So what does that mean? You can take your 3D data, you can take that point cloud or the BIM file should you choose to purchase it from Matterport, take it straight into Revit where you're working, or straight into AutoCAD. We also offer OBJ, high quality OBJ mesh files with all the materiality. So you can take that straight into 3D Studio Max or Maya to do your rendering as well. It's really about, we're not here to replace what firms out there and people have personally invested a lot of money into their existing technology solutions. We just want to help make that process a little bit smoother for those in the industry to understand what is actually going on site. How does that impact me? And how do I communicate this to other people in a quick and efficient manner? So when I talk about communication, I'd love to bring everyone's attention to our newest announcement that came out last week, March 14th, which coincided with Con Expo, actually, is our deeper integration with Autodesk Construction Cloud. We've had a longstanding partnership with Autodesk. At first, we had a BIM 360. Partner card, where those within BIM 360 could actually view the Matterport space within the exact same interface. Then last year, also with the BIM file, we announced a direct integration into Revit. So within Revit, within that same UI, you can pull in your Matterport assets, your XYZ, your E57 files, or the BIM file. And now we've taken that a step further to really address the communication an efficiency aspect that plagues a lot of our projects out there today, broadly an AEC community, building construction industry issue, which is communication, right? So yes, there's amazingly detailed construction documents out there. Yes, there's even more detailed shop drawings out there. And yes, there's a lot of blurry cell phone and iPad photos out there as well of a construction site. So now with this integration, what you can do is take that amazing visual quality of a site capture, that one-to-one representation of what's going on right now on your job site, within your virtual walkthrough, actually create an RFI pin. Once you do that, you can actually, there's a pop-up window on the side of your screen. You'll be able to type in, what the issue is, what information you need clarified. And then as you hit create, it ports you automatically to Autodesk Construction Cloud, where you're already doing your project management work, where you can fill in and make sure that, the right stakeholder is assigned, the right time frame is assigned. move the project on as fast as possible with as much information as possible so you can close out your project faster, get that payment down from the owner that you're chasing.
So much gold there. And I kind of want to maybe step back a little bit to talk through a few of kind of the Silicon speak to the Arca speak to what work we talk about, the master facilitators, the doers in the middle, trying to figure out whether you're running the Matterport camera or you're using the data file to put that into Revit. But it all has to go to the builders doing the work and figuring out all these different decision makers at the handoffs. And so we've cataloged this all into a tool called Revision, because it's constantly revising these projects to where you first have to envision it. And especially if it's an existing building, right? It's one of those 800-pound gorillas that's so hard to figure out, how do we take what's there and make it better? That's one of the magical things I love about this tool. But then you have to figure out the feasibility study. And that's what you were talking about, the Autodesk Construction Cloud, of this data source that people can come and understand how to tag. And the people that have been using these tools for a long time, we've been using them like putting matter tags and different things, but it doesn't go to the Revit file. And it's this Autodesk 800-pound gorilla that we have to run through the Revit to make it become more valuable, of the Matterport, the Revit. And that's what I'm so excited about, because then you can start branching out. And you talked about how that you don't want to be everything to everybody. You want to be able to source, because where it really gets messy is the selections phase. And you talked about getting that done before the drywall goes up, so that it never happens where they make selections too late, right? It never happens where things come at the wrong time. Well, of course, it happens all the time. And that's where this stuff becomes, from what we envisioned and we revised, revisioned, we figured out a feasibility study that we went to work, and then construction's never over on time or over budget and late, right? It always is, right? And so it's this cart before the horse, so that the approvals part, people, when they're stamping that approval, they're actually making sense so the builders can execute it. And the part that we don't talk near about enough, because construction is all about just getting it done in the false summit. The last part, which is the secret sauce of this thing, and we're all trying to figure out this construction cloud, is the maintenance part. And this is the part where Matterport just made it really easy to jump on the bus. But wow, how is this thing going to work over time when all these scans, people actually realize it can do this, this, that, that, and all the way around that? That's the part where I'm so excited to really understand how we can all, as the art of construction, understand this Autodesk, because it actually, by the way, it's never going to be auto. It's the human desk into the construction cloud coming together, that we're all trying to figure out still, what is the new cloud, right? And so going back, how has your career as an architect shaped the work that you do at Matterport?
I love that question, because it, you know, the education process of becoming an architect and actually practicing as an architect, what it really boot camps into you through all those long hours is that you have to anticipate every possible scenario that can come out of a decision. And you're playing a bit of a lawyer, a project manager, a designer, Leonardo da Vinci, all at once. And so what that has done is really help enable what I like to think of as a better 360, perhaps pun intended here, 360 view on what are the capabilities and what are the possibilities for Matterport, our products, our offerings. But ultimately, it always comes back to the customer, because if you don't satisfy the customer needs, if you don't understand their pain points, then how are you going to be successful as a company? How can you iterate what you have already that has been a fantastic tool with fantastic organic and inorganic growth? But you have to be able to take it to the next level. And with that training of really trying to anticipate all the different scenarios and all the objections, because as you just mentioned, Devin, every project is always going to be plagued with change order questions, timing, scheduling questions, responsibility, indemnity questions in the end, right? You really need to anticipate that And if you can get that mindset down, then I think that's the true success of any company out there. That's the secret sauce. You hear about, I'll just use an example of from the baby side, because I just had a baby. If you look up the backgrounds of all the successful baby supplier companies, it's from parents who had a baby and they didn't have something to help them with what they were going through at the time. In very much the same way, I view my role very passionately in knowing that, you know, having been through almost 2 decades in the industry, what those pain points are, what could have made it a lot better, what I didn't like, and what I'm willing to give up, and that kind of mindset to help, you know, push conversation a little bit further, whether it's within our business, on the product side, et cetera. And it's really just all a great team effort, because in the end, again, I want to come back to, it's really about making sure that our customers, our users, are having the efficiency and the proper bump in lifestyle improvements that we can help them to get past the work part and onto their family life, onto their happy life.
I absolutely love that. And I'm going to give a very disruptor case study that really surprised me. So this podcast is specifically designed for builders and its affiliates. And so I'm going to talk about Krusty Contractor for a little bit. And why I'm going to talk about Krusty Contractor is it blew my mind as I run a window and door company, and I invested in all these tools and worked with different partners to sponsor this, if you will, like an architect photo, right? Like forever this has been happening, and it's who comes together to showcase the project. And I'm like, well, we can showcase it, but more importantly, we can document the good, bad, and ugly. And we did this whole marketing campaign about the ultimate CYA tool to two contractors. And I was blown away by how many contractors, not builders, said, absolutely do not put that on my job site. I got to get this thing covered up as fast as I can. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is how you're doing this? And then I stopped and thought about it. It's like, well, put yourself in the contract's shoes. How much is that going to help you or maybe hurt you? And at the end of the day, it's the decision makers who are going to be maintaining that building most of the time get stuck with it, right? And so as you talked about how you have to anticipate everything, right? And I totally agree with that as a master facilitator. That's impossible, right? It's impossible to anticipate everything. So that's where Matterport comes in and helps you with these different handoffs. But quite frankly, we have to leapfrog Krusty Contractor that says, I've always done it this way, and I just got to get it done as fast as I can for my 1 year warranty and move on. I hate to tell you that, but that's where the industry has kind of gotcha, because that's how it works now, right? And so, like, I want to now take that kind of gotcha moment and talk about how much of the industry do you think is currently using photogrammetry and laser scanning, and talk about the advancements in the camera. You correct me if I'm wrong. You have a brand new camera that you just put out there. And I'm excited to learn about that for someone who's bought one of your first cameras. And the thing is you can't just buy a new camera every day. So you got to really understand the hardware, software, and the business practice to not be a crusty contractor. What's your take on that?
I love that. You know, I think there's a lot of scanning that's being done that isn't documented in like any type of business reports or industry reports out there. And so a lot of it is because, you know, there are people that are trying to document quickly and scan quickly. And they're just not on most reports radars or most companies radars. And that's kind of the beauty of the Matterport cameras, whether it is our first iteration of the Pro 1 or our, you know, official workhorse, the Pro 2, or our newest camera, the Pro 3, which is a full-on LiDAR scanning camera, which is able to scan officially up to 100 meters. But for best practice, we always recommend keep it 20 meters or under. That's already quite far. If you take, you know, do the mental math of 20 times 3, that's 60 feet plus. A space that you can scan per rotation. And the ability is of really just being able to do that quickly, and again, at speed with a great amount of accuracy to document your spaces, your as-builds. the reason that this is also important is it's about value creation too, right? So whether or not you're crusty contractor or you're, you know, the head builder at a regional firm, or you're an architect, there's at least 20 to 50 other people who are, or firms that are vying for the exact same job for the owner of the project. What value can you bring to them other than doing it fast? You can do it fast. You can do it in a way that's well communicated, and then you can give them state-of-the-art, incredible documentation package at the end of the project at handover so that they can continue to maintain the space. And if you build that trust with an owner, if you build that trust with the project manager, they're more likely to come back to you when there needs to be maintenance or renovation work, because they know that you understand the project. They know that you can think from the side of the owner also and anticipate, you know, why they would need great documentation. We have a lot of users out there, especially on the architecture and engineering side, who use models not only for, you know, complex structural or MEP simulations to try to understand how to finesse the complicated spaces they're trying to sandwich between, but also to upload the entire specifications and warranty manuals via those MatterTag tools that we have as part of the just basic offering of the platform. So you're taking binders and binders of spec books that used to have to turn.
I know where all my binders are. Don't worry about that. I have everyone figured out. You know, they're currently up to date. You know, the printer never stops working.
Exactly. You know, the three-hole punch, the holes never rip.
But I do want to comment on that, though. It's fascinating how you have to get people to switch from analog to digital. Like we are started to do like little tricks when you do scans. Like if it's an as-built, we're like, lay out the plans and the binder. Like if they say, hey, where's your job binder? And we'll lay that on the table so that on the scan, we're tagging that to help them understand how to move that forward. And then guiding that into whether it's an Office 365, this or Google Doc, like all the different links, because it's all about just linking this data set together, right? And the picture tracks with the data sets has been one of those magical moments, because you can guide somebody to that just in time needle in the haystack. That's why construction is so hard. It's so messy to be just in time to find that one stud behind the wall because the TV mount back box is in the way when it's all done and the homeowner wants to move in and everybody's freaking out, right?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So with our newest camera, the Pro 3 LiDAR camera, you can scan indoors and outdoors regardless of what your lighting conditions are. So you're not only able to quickly scan, document the space, you're able to pull higher quality data sets out of that, your point cloud data, but you're still able to do the exact same coordination efforts, tagging of your warranty manuals, pinpointing, you know, trouble areas for your owners, for your engineers, for the architects you're working with, basically any project stakeholder, to make sure that everyone's on the same page. Because going back again, when the traditional process, it works, it's been around forever, but there's always a better way, a faster way to do it. And why not embrace the faster way and get back to what you really love doing, whether it's scotch or golf or, you know, blowing raspberries on your baby's belly, which I highly recommend to anybody. Don't do it to random babies, but it's very therapeutic.
I do really appreciate you giving that, because it's kind of this crawl, walk, run model that we're always talking about. Like, how do you dip the toe in the water? And photogrammetry is taking a bunch of pictures and stitching them together. But from firsthand experience, you're only as good as what you can get on those pictures and stitching them together with lighting and how you can get the camera. So, but the barrier to entry is a lot less, right? So laser scanning and other tools, like you talk about their Pro 3, can really up the game. And the question you really have to look at is, how hard are you going to run to this stuff? And this is why we've launched the Art of Construction Master Facilitators, because I'm not saying everybody should go out and buy both cameras, no cameras, all the cameras, one of the cameras. You should really understand how your business works and join groups like the Master Facilitators to say, maybe you should collaborate with somebody else in the group that has a camera locally. And that's this thing about all markets are local, but you have to understand global things to put this together. with my kind of points of view on making sure and circle back if I missed anything on kind of understanding the different channels around the different cameras, what is your advice for builders who are just beginning to look at incorporating something like Matterport into their business?
One, definitely listen to this podcast because it's a fantastic resource out there. shameless plug for all of us. But also, you know, definitely visit the Matterport website to learn a bit more. We have a wealth and depth and breadth of webinars out there that do talk about our various solutions. But also there are a lot of extended network offerings that we have. Matterport, we also offer capture services, which is essentially a bit of like an Uber on demand kind of thing, where if you're curious, you don't want to invest in a camera, you can basically ask a Matterport vetted technician to come out and scan your space. And then you could get the exact same deliverables that you would if you bought your camera. And then there's also Matterport service providers or companies like yours, Devin, that actually do scanning and provide, you know, that more full service touch as well. So there's definitely a lot of different avenues. Also, you can always reach out to support@matterport.com if you do have any further questions. But it's really about, you know, there's a broad community out there. We know it can be daunting to start with any new technology. I always like to use analogy of Microsoft Excel. When digital spreadsheets came out, Microsoft Excel, every accountant and every financial professional in the world freaked out. What is happening? Am I going to lose my job? But they didn't. It was what it happened was their job became a lot more efficient. They are still very much needed. That human person is still very much needed. It's just that they still need to run the tool. And that's the exact same thing with Matterport. We don't replace humans. We just help you do it a little bit faster, a little bit smoother, a little bit more multi-language friendly, a little more time zone friendly, whatever you want to think about it. It's all within a URL link.
Well said, all within a URL link. And that, what a great analogy of the Excel thing, because it's fascinating how many cool new tools are that have propped up that replace Excel until they don't. And then it's like, how does this actually reverse engineer back to where we started again? And it's remembering those tried and true principles, but moving things forward. So what's next for Matterport?
We are super excited. I mean, I wish I could share with you our full product roadmap, but I cannot. But I can say for sure, you know, our relationship, our integration with Autodesk, this is really just the beginning. We are working on a lot more iterations on how we continue to deepen the relationship. It's especially even piggybacking off of even just recently last week, we announced that RFI workflow. There's definitely going to be more coming out of that. We are also always looking for,
why would we need help with RFIs? There's no issues with those.
There's no issues. Yeah. Why would anybody need help answering questions about a job site?
Awesome.
Yeah. So we're always excited about that. We have a lot of, exciting new partnerships also coming across in some of our more focused sectors like industrial manufacturing, et cetera, also spaces that the AEC community definitely has a high touch point in helping to make sure that, you know, those types of things are running smoothly and accurately. So there's a lot to come. We're very excited. It's going to be a game buster year for us. And we're just really excited to be here to be able to share the messaging with everybody.
Yeah. And we're honored to have you here telling the story on the art of construction. And I'm very excited for this next question that we always ask, for bringing, as we talked at the beginning, with the end in mind of your life of architecture and putting that out there, but then switching and jumping full team into working for a tech company that is now going back to the AEC industry where you all began. What is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
We're all going to be rich. No, I'm kidding. I'm rich. Personal hope. No, but I would say my crystal ball is, I predict there is going to be a significant shift in mentality as to how the industry approaches technology in the next 10 to 15 years. Why 10 to 15? It's very much tied to how the industry is run. It's a very much a legacy industry. It's very much an educational apprenticeship industry still. And there are a lot of great people with a wealth of experience who are nearing the end of their professional career. They might still stay involved with the industry as a hobby or as a consultant, but the reins will change as to who will be the main decision makers for a lot of firms out there. Again, whether you're an A, E, or C. And I see that with that transition of leadership, there's going to be a lot more focus on technology, efficiency, and, you know, just a relook again at how things are done.
Well said. And to close this out, Stephanie, what is that one thing for our builders and affiliates that we call master facilitators? What should they do to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Adopt Matterport. No, but honestly, I think, you know, to crush your business, it's about human connection. And that's also what Matterport is, what we really help strive for. It's, as I mentioned earlier, it's about that value creation. It's the human connection. Listen to what your clients are asking for. Listen to what your peers are saying. The only way to continue to improve and to offer something better is by listening. And a lot of times I know we all come in as experts in our field of whatever subspecialty we might be focused in. But there's, just because we're experts, it often also means there's a lens that we're putting up. And so you got to break through that lens and listen to what people are asking for, what people are hoping for, and then you can actually truly, truly grow your.
Thank you, Stephanie, so much for coming and sharing your story. We're big fans of what you're doing.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
So I totally agree with her, but I want to set the stage here of saying construction is a legacy business that in 10 to 15 years, there's going to be this generational forced change. But I can tell you, let's go back in time 25 years. Right out of college, Devin Tilley got hired to go to all these corporate lumber yards and put the corporate supply chain into these lumber yards. And I cannot tell you how hard it was to say force change of this is what the corporate says you're going to supply, and this is the kit of parts we're going to put into the lumber yard. And I had to go to 28 lumber yards, and let's call it half of them even let me in to do the work. The other half of them ran to say, Devin, this is great. Help us. And I ran to those couple. But while I'm doing that, guess what happened as soon as we get all those displays in a couple years later? Everything changed. And those people changed. And those connections changed. And all the way back to the corporate ladder of the people that said this was, guess what? Those people changed. And so for 4 years, I was going around to these lumber yards saying, here's the greatest thing since sliced bread, until it changed. And then we'd start all over again. And that whole conglomerate now is totally gone again, but it's billions of dollars. But what a waste if we're not using it the right way. So I call myself out and say, we're all crusty contractors sometimes. But I can tell you, let's call it 5 years ago, when I found this tool to say, wait, digitally we can guide them. And now hitting 11 years owning a window and door company, guess what happens as soon as we get the displays put in from a manufacturer? They change. And then we have to revise them and they change again. So I hope you guys are all understanding and gals to say the only constant is change. And we have to all run to tools like this to say, I raise my hand and say, probably time for me to pony up and buy the next camera. But I'm being resistant to change because I already bought the other camera. But I'm not going to just go buy the new camera without getting educated. I'm going to go to the master facilitators and I'm going to challenge Stephanie and the team at Matterport to say, not everybody should just go buy a Matterport camera. What everybody should do is understand the difference between photogrammetry and LiDAR and understand how it ties in to the bigger picture for the one word, that makes communication so hard to change? It's called communication. And Matterport is a communications tool that when we communicate, it moves the project forward. And as I talked about at the beginning, the most important tool is maintaining the life of architecture that people like Stephanie work so many hours to digitally build something. Let's talk about the physical built environment, how we can maintain and do this better. That's the part when you say, what are you most excited about these tools? It's change. With a community at the Art of Construction all working together to take a Silicon Valley startup, Matterport, that went to sell real estate to now talk about making meaningful change. Good on you, Matterport. We're huge fans. Shout out to Scott Hicken for reaching out to those and being a student of the game. Multiple people that, as the visionary of the company, were investing in these cameras. The cameras are only as good as the person using the camera, but they have to be coming from the unified process that we call system. Crush it out there, tribe.